This hour, the podcast is exclusively sponsored by my good friends at Advantage Gold. Advantage Gold is a five-star rated gold company with one-of-a-kind customer service. And when it comes to gold and precious metals, Advantage Gold is the only company I'll work with. Call Advantage Gold today and make sure you let them know that Mark Levin sent you. And now, let's begin.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Let me show you why these Sunday shows are so horrendous to this country's psyche and to policymaking in this country. Let me give you some examples of different clips we have here. Jamal Bowman, who is a Marxist buffoon and an anti-Semite, and has a real challenge in the Democrat primary, calls Netanyahu a maniac. I'm 100% with Chuck Schumer. He needs to be removed. More on that later. We cannot condemn October 7th and then condone the killing of civilian women and children that's happening right now. So he is a front, a fraud, and a phony for Hamas. Representative Clyburn on Meet the Press. Netanyahu sold his soul to the right-wingers in Israel in order to maintain power for himself. Now, this is what the anti-Semites like Clyburn do. They attack Netanyahu, but Netanyahu is representing what the people of Israel want. But it's easier to attack Netanyahu. And, of course, he should be talking about Biden selling his soul to the Islamists, the river to the sea crowd, as has James Clyburn, who is nothing but a Democrat hack. Chris Van Hollen on ABC's This Week. Chris Van Hollen's wife is essentially an Islamist. And so I'm just showing you, why would Meet the Press have Clyburn on? Why would MSNBC have Jamal Bowman on? Why would This Week have Chris Van Hollen on? They all know what they're going to say. That's why. Until the Netanyahu government allows more assistance in Gaza, we should not be sending more bombs to Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, over 60% of the assistance we've provided has been stolen by Hamas. And they either use it for themselves or they resell it to the people in Gaza at a significant increase in the fuel they use to fire their rockets. Now, Van Hollen knows it, but he doesn't care because he's an Israel hater, as apparently is his lovely wife. And there's others. Al Sharpton, what the hell is Al Sharpton even saying, Mr. Producer? Wahlberg of Michigan appeared to suggest nuclear weapons should be dropped on Gaza. His office maintained he was speaking metaphorically. This begs the question, with all the criticism against Biden, if Trump were in power right now, wouldn't the support have been more one-sided and pro-Israel? Let's play that one. That's a particularly good one. Then you have this guy, David Jolly. David Jolly spent most of his career on Capitol Hill. He's a punk, a puke, and a phony. He held a seat in Congress for 2 years, and then his ass was kicked out. And he's been a MSLSD mouthpiece, Republican, or maybe it's, yeah, for years now. And so he's just one of these Republicans, there's about 15 of them, that that they bring in who dance across the stage and play as a one-person Rockette. That's David Jolly. Notice all these names, Joy Reid, David Jolly. What's the other Joy's name? Whatever the hell her name is. Behar, right. All these happy people. And Sharpton is the last one to open his big fat mouth about Jews. And there he is at MSNBC. Look at these sickening reprobates they are. Him, Joy Reid, who else? Rachel Madcow. Cut six, go.
Wahlberg of Michigan appeared to suggest that nuclear weapons should be dropped on Gaza. His office maintains that he was speaking metaphorically. This begs the question, with all the criticism against President Biden, if Trump were in power right now, wouldn't the support have been even more one-sided pro-Israel?
Yeah, it absolutely would be, which I think is the critical point for this slice of the electorate who continues to express concerns about Joe Biden's handling of the issue in the Middle East, the war in the Middle East.
Another anti-Israel guy, David Jolly. This is MSNBC full-time. It's CNN full-time. I just want you to know how the other side of the track conducts itself. Now, the ratings are low, but they have 95% or so of the media. So it's a constant drumbeat. Al Sharpton should be hiding his head right now. And yet the Democrats go and they kiss his hand every time they decide to run for office, despite his thoroughly disgusting background over the years. So there you have ABC, Meet the Press, MSNBC, you have CNN all day long. This is the crap you get. Because they are a conga line of Democrat Party hacks and Republican never Trumpers. That's what they are. Hour after hour on Sunday, this is what you get. No wonder they want to shut down Fox and conservative talk radio. You can see why. Pretty amazing. But I want to get on. The Israelis attacked. There's no comment from them or the United States. A location, consulate, the Iranian consulate. Six of the leading terrorist, Iranian generals, planners, strategists. What were they doing in Syria? Well, the top Iranian Islamo-Nazi general who was taken out, and so, you know, I don't understand this. Shouldn't the Iranians be celebrating that he's going to have 72 virgin wives in heaven now, Mr. What is this? Retribution. Retribution for what? I mean, by their own words, why is that? What's the retribution for? Anyway, so this guy, such as he was, no longer exists. Now, what was his role? First of all, he's a mass murderer and an assassin. His role was to arm Syria and also to flow arms to Syria, then flows the arms to Hezbollah and Hamas, especially Hezbollah. So he's involved in the methods by which Iran is arming the Islamo-Nazi terrorists that's its surrogates, including in Hezbollah and Hamas and in Gaza, and no doubt the PLO. He's a mass murderer. So even though there's no comment, let's just assume for argument's sake that the Israelis took him out. Oh, the Israelis are escalating the problem now, don't you see? You believe this, Mr. Producer? They're escalating. It's like this hospital, which they took a second time. You have this guy Miller, a candy ass, who sits there at the Department of State, which is anything but, criticizing the Israelis. They say, look at the hospital. Joe Rogan may want to pay attention. I can educate him here. They look at the hospital. They say, look, the hospital's completely destroyed. Well, guess who was shooting mortars, effectively, mortars into the hospital, Mr. Producer? Gee, I wonder who. Just for the United States State Department and the American media and Joe Rogan and his ilk, so they could show a picture of it. Look at this, my gracious goodness. And all those doctors and patients, excuse me, there are very few doctors and patients. What happened there, and I've just posted the article, is a remarkable military operation. And my David Milstein makes the point, and I think he's right. They left the hospital. They already took this hospital. So the Israelis, the IDF, leave, right, Mr. Producer? And they leave some of the tunnels that are effective. And so the moron at the State Department says, why do you have to go back twice? Now, why does anybody think they did that? Because they knew the terrorists would flow back in. That's why. And there they were, about 1,000 of them, Mr. Producer. It wasn't a hospital anymore. It was a compound. They were building it back up as a terrorist compound. In other words, the ploy worked perfectly. The idiots at the Department of State and the rest of, why did they have to go back? Why didn't they? This is what happens when you get these fools out of Harvard and Princeton, you know, with the $200 shirts and $150 ties, and they don't know anything. They don't know a damn thing about what's going on. But they're happy to comment, just like every single clown this Sunday. What does Jamal Bowman know? Well, he hates Israel. What does James Clyburn know? Hates Israel. What does Van Hollen know? He knows his wife hates Israel, so he hates Israel. Sharpton? We know Sharpton. And these are the people commenting. All damn day on these Sunday shows. Why even have the guests? By the way, there's Dana Bash at CNN. She's a complete putz. Complete putz. I'll get to her later. One thing at a time. I'm getting ahead of myself. It was like when Trump took out Soleimani and the isolationists within the Republican Party, the mouthpieces for the left in the Democrat Party and the media. My God, he's going to escalate. Maybe. But they're just supposed to keep taking hits. Do you know how many missiles are coming in Israel from Lebanon now? It's constant. And they're hitting into their interior towns now, their interior cities. And the idiot Biden has our guys building a port on Gaza. Of course, they're going to be subject to attack. And let me just ask this question, because Mark Penn brought it up here last week. Mark Penn, the pollster for Clinton, who's about had enough of Biden, the best I can tell. He said, Haiti is the humanitarian disaster on the face of the earth right now. There's no government. The gangs now run Haiti. We even have Americans in Haiti. They're not building any ports. Not making any demands. They don't even talk about it. Biden doesn't talk about it. Kamala doesn't talk about it. Aren't these people of color in Haiti? Yes, it is. So how come James Clyburn doesn't say anything? Or Jamal Bowman? Why is it the Israelis and the Jews? We got to keep talking about them, you know. And where are all the great athletes? Why aren't they talking up about what's going on in Haiti? Those who are obviously black Americans, why aren't they speaking out about it? The horrendous conditions there. People are dying, and they're dying fast, and a lot of them at one time. Not a word. I haven't heard anybody say anything. Now, I have to admit, I don't watch ESPN morning, noon, and night. I barely watch it except for my buddy Stephen A. But here's the thing. Crickets. 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 LGBTQ, sure, we'll talk about that all day till we're blue in the face. But what about the slaughter and the starvation? Jill Biden hasn't said anything. Dr. Jill Biden. She hasn't said anything in any speech. In fact, nobody is saying anything except me. That's the funny part. I'm the one speaking up about it. Because I can see it with my own two eyes. Al Sharpton hasn't said a damn thing. Nothing. The Congressional Black Caucus, nothing. Schumer bravely spoke up on the Senate floor, and did he speak about it? Nothing. Not a word. What's that? I'm not trying to be provocative. What is the guy's name? The God? What's his name? Charlemagne the God. Now, maybe you've done a show on it. Maybe you haven't. But if you haven't, what the hell's your problem? I'm quite serious. Sorry. I'm just observing. I see things like everybody else. Maybe he did. And if he did, I salute you. But if he didn't, why not? Now, I'll bring it up. But Mark, Haiti is nothing. Haiti is in our hemisphere. And tens of thousands of Haitians are going to be coming to the United States very, very soon. What do you mean it's not in our interest? But you know what it is? It's a perfect example of what happens when law and order is destroyed, when judges go on TV and politicize the court system, when prosecutors are used to take out your political opponents, when violent criminals are let out on the street time and time and time again. Haiti is an example of a complete failure of a society. And by the way, it's not the only one. But it's the one closest to us. Well, that and California. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Our once mighty dollars under siege from runaway inflation. For those still working, your paychecks buy less while costs for gas, food, cars, utilities skyrocket thanks to inflation. That's why I'm urging all my listeners to register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. It's a fantastic seminar. They'll teach you how to take steps to help guard your wealth from inflation using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver hold intrinsic value that should remain untouched by government manipulation. Folks, don't wait for the Fed's reckless policies to completely devalue the dollar and steal your life savings. Call now while free registration is open. I'm telling you, this is a fantastic seminar. Call 800-900-8000 right now. The Gold and Silver Summit could provide the vital insights we need to protect our families. 800-900-8000. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Always consult your financial and tax professionals. I be here. You know, you can find all my full podcasts. Ready? Interviews, specials on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com at Mark Levin. Excuse me, YouTube.com at Mark Levin Show, or search Mark Levin Show on YouTube. And for the podcast, go to marklevinshow.com. Click on Audio Rewind. Select your favorite platform, except for Google Play. Or search Mark Levin Show in your favorite podcast app. Mr. Busy, we certainly do diversify our platforms, don't we? I mean, we're all over the place. And with the Mark Levin app, you can stream and download my podcast. Find the Mark Levin app through iTunes and download it to your phone. Or go to marklevinshow.com, click on the Apple or Android icon at the top right, and download it to your phone. All right, we'll be right back. Attention, fellow Americans. Mark Levin here with a warning and a solution. I feel like our country's being destroyed by out-of-control spending and debt thanks to Biden and the American Marxists. And your hard-earned savings and retirement could be at risk from their socialist schemes. That's why you should consider Advantage Gold, the best of the best, a U.S.-based company that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their wealth. They have a simple solution to help you even potentially grow your wealth despite the attacks from Washington. I urge you to register for their upcoming Gold and Silver Summit. It's fabulous. A free online event where you'll learn tips to help safeguard your finances by diversifying into physical precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. Call them right now to sign up securely for this pivotal summit. It is crucial. Tell them Mark Levin sent you for a special bonus. Call 800-900-8000 right now. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional.
Mark Levin, radio's principled patriot. Call in now at 877-381-3811.
You have to go to a British paper, The Express. Haiti declared an open-air prison as gang violence reaches apocalyptic levels. You haven't even heard about this in the United States, except from me. Haiti's crisis so bad that the country has now been described as an open-air prison as armed gangs continue to kill unarmed civilians. And the humanitarian crisis deep. They're murdering people right on the street. They're grabbing women and raping them. In recent weeks, the gangs have ramped up their violence as they forced Prime Minister Ariel Henry to resign. A transitional government has been formed to run the country before elections are held, but the gangs continue to cause chaos on the streets of the capital of Port-au-Prince. A UN report has outlined how more than 1,500 Haitians have died due to gang violence just in the last few months. The report adds that children are among the most impacted, often caught in crossfire, being kidnapped by gangs as they aim to raise funds for ransoms. Sexual violence has also made the streets incredibly unsafe for women. On gangs recruiting children, this is extremely alarming. The gangs have turned their violence towards people that, for whatever reasons, they see as a threat to their continued control of their territories in the country. This is what happens when a society collapses. Many in Haiti are now going without essentials, including food. Gang violence has also seen over 350,000 people displaced in their own country. Now, this is in our hemisphere. Honestly, it's right off our shores. But Biden doesn't talk enough. No, instead, it's the peaceful Palestinians. And I'm going to tell you why, because Biden is at heart a racist. That's what he is. That's what he is. It's what he's always been. But he figures he's got the black vote in his back pocket, so he doesn't have to worry about it. He figures he has most of the Jewish vote in his back pocket, and he might have both of those votes back in his back pocket. So it's the Islamist vote that he has to have. Security. There's no security. There's no rule of law left. The United Nations report said along the northern coast, gang continues to use motorboats to attack, loot, steal from residents, local businesses, humanitarian actors. Oh, it's hell on earth right now. Haiti is hell on earth. And maybe my comments and it will spark some interest by some people, but it's better to attack the Jews in Israel than I guess it is to the gangs in Haiti. So Biden's really obsessed with this transgender stuff. Really is. There's so many problems with that whole movement, particularly when it affects minors. And you're going to have minors who grow up, and some have. They're horrified by what has been done to them. And they should bring these massive lawsuits against the teachers' unions, against the Democrat Party, against the doctors and the hospitals and all the rest, against these phony nonprofit front groups. They should sue the crap out of them as if they're tobacco companies. And I'm not kidding. And they do this on Easter? Easter, you know, I'm one of the people who defend Christianity more than anybody else on the air. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because I know without Christianity in this country, people of my faith wouldn't have been able to live here in relative peace and harmony. I know that much. And to use Easter and then the talking moron at the White House, the idiot who speaks for the idiot, look at the calendar. Okay. It's every March 31st we recognize this. Somebody did look at a calendar. And you know what they found? In a calendar, a politically correct calendar, more than any other holidays or any other days, endless days and weeks and months celebrating transgenderism, LGBTQ. It goes on and on and on. It's like our calendars are now woke calendars. And this is all an obsession of the East Coast elites and the West Coast elites, Hollywood, New York, Washington, the middle of the country, with a vast majority of Americans that are like, what the hell's going on, man? I mean, do what you want. Keep your hands off my kids. And I don't have to approve of it. And don't put it on my calendar. Isn't that pretty much the way to sum it up, Mr. Producer? So there's Joe Biden. It's Easter. So you know there's going to be a good laugh. The truth is that Joe Biden likes to hide the Easter eggs and then tries to go find the eggs that he hid. Did you know that, Mr. Producer? And I understand he couldn't. So no religious symbols on the eggs. You know, we want to keep this holiday very secular. Excuse me, it's a religious holiday. No, we're going to keep it, you know, it's like Ramadan, very secular. But Ramadan says, hey, don't challenge me. And by the way, a reporter says to him, I think one of the Fox reporters, you understand what you did here. And the reporter, what Speaker Johnson said, it was terribly inappropriate what you did. And he says, well, Speaker Johnson's not informed. Not informed about what? I didn't do it. Yes, you did, you idiot. Or maybe he didn't, but somebody did it for him, one of the Obama staffers, you know. Does anybody know what an oyster bunny is? Now, look, I don't pretend to be Christian here. I don't know what an oyster bunny is. What's an oyster bunny? Well, we're about to find out. Here's Biden. Cut one, go.
Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to oyster bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you.
He meant Easter, of course, but it turns out it's oyster. And, you know, any excuse to do this, Mr. Producer, go ahead.
What are they? Can you get a funny on the ghost track?
They have an eye.
It costs, when, if you, they just gave, you gave them.
With the withdraw, bringing U.S. home troops from home.
And the.
You need somebody.
Wait, so, what, finally. What?
Budget.
But resist, we much. We must, and we will much about that be committed.
I'm a warrior.
You know,
Ted. I mean, they said that.
Look, the
why is it him?
Why I didn't. If we
we can walk and chew gum.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go. You know the thing.
True and international effort to pressure.
Been impeached for inciting the erection.
Donald John Trump incited the erection. Insurrection.
And what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And
to confidence in the integrity.
Economic.
No! Don't let him.
You know how much I'm going to do with the deficit this year?
Bridges and those bones that are collapsing.
And you know it is.
Happy birthday, dear Valerie.
Part of the Mr. I introduce some of you to some of the leadership of.
Kajan, Katanji, drowned Jackson.
You docs are good. If there's any angels in heaven, they're all nurses, male and female.
God save the queen, man.
President Trump incited an erection. And
mess with the men on the way.
Beer brewed here. It is used to make the brew beer here in this refinery. Oh, Earth Rider, thanks for the Great Lakes. I wonder why.
Participated in an erection.
Say hello to oyster bunnies. Come on up, bunnies.
All Democrats, all liberals, all Washington, a little Hollywood. That's your ruling class, America. Now it gets worse. White House pushed Trans Day messaging on English accounts, but not the Spanish speakers. Say what? The Biden White House post-millennial writing. Social media account La Casablanca did not post anything related to Transgender Day of Visibility, quote-unquote, while the English White House account on X made a post on Easter to declare the LGBTQ Recognition Day. Let me get this straight. It did it on the English account, not on the Spanish account. They're stereotyping, but this is what I mean. The guy is a racist. His people are racists. They figure, you know, Spanish are more conservative, they're Catholic, so we can't do that. But the whites, you know, what the hell? And not just whites, blacks, whoever speaks just English and not bilingual. Over the weekend, the Biden administration faced backlash for using a proclamation for March 31 as Transgender Day of Visibility. Can I ask a question? No, I better not. When the holiest Christian holiday, Easter Sunday, fell on the same day, a proclamation for Biden was issued about March 31 on Good Friday that read, "By virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31, 2024 as Transgender Day of Visibility." Now, just to get my English straight, Mr. Producer, can't transgendered people see? Transgender Day of Visibility? Transgender people. I didn't know they had a sight problem. The day was established in 2009, and Biden has proclaimed it repeatedly during his administration. On Easter Sunday, Biden's social media accounts made several different posts about both Easter and Transgender Day of Visibility. One account that was lacking any posts related to LGBTQ holiday, however, was the Spanish iteration of the White House account, La Casablanca. The posts that were issued for the Spanish White House account only celebrated Easter and Cesar Chavez. Now, why were they celebrating Cesar Chavez? So many celebrations. How did I miss them all? Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, Cesar Chavez, I wrote about it, and we've talked about it here over the years. Excuse me. Cesar Chavez went down to the southern border with his newly minted union members, Farm Workers Union, with Walter Mondale, with Ralph Abernathy, who had been the right hand of Martin Luther King, with Eugene McCarthy. And they went down there and they talked about, quote unquote, wetbacks coming across the border. Cesar Chavez used the term wetbacks. We played it. He said it on a San Francisco radio show. We have that, but why bother right now? Remember that, Mr. Producer? And they supported and defended all efforts to secure the border and throw all illegal aliens out of the country because he was trying to unionize Hispanic workers, American citizen Hispanic workers. Today, of course, they celebrate him, but they don't know what he stood for. He was opposed to massive migration, legal, and was opposed to illegal immigration completely. And he saw it as a way of the government to undermine his workers' movement. Not today. And so they're celebrating Cesar Chavez. I remember Obama had a small statue, I think, a bust of Cesar Chavez in his office. Because they're stupid. They don't even know what the hell they're doing. It doesn't matter. Or they're rewriting history. In contrast, the English White House account on X made an Easter post similar to the Spanish post. However, the other post on March 31 stated, "Transgender Americans are part of the fabric of our nation. On Transgender Day of Visibility," again, apparently transgender people can't see very well, "our administration honors the extraordinary courage of the transgender," and so forth and so on. The extraordinary courage. You see, America is such an awful country. You know, my view is live and let live. It really is. Just leave me alone. Don't tell me what to think. Don't tell me what to do. Get your finger the hell out of my face. Stop changing my calendars. Don't brainwash my children. Do whatever the hell you want to do, as long as it doesn't break the law or interfere with me. Transgender Day of Visibility? Extraordinary courage? I don't think we treat the men and women who returned from war this way and talk about their extraordinary courage. And so courageous are they that Joe Biden wouldn't even note their courage on an official White House Spanish website. We really acknowledge your courage. The day of Transgender Day of Visibility, except on the White House Spanish language site. No visibility, no courage. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
My fellow Americans, we're living in very perilous economic times. Washington seems determined to bankrupt our nation with endless stimulus spending. As they devalue our dollar, hardworking Americans like you could lose everything. That's why I urge you strongly, register for the upcoming Gold and Silver Summit hosted by our friends at Advantage Gold. They'll teach you how to help guard your wealth using asset diversification into physical precious metals. Gold and silver can offer a defense against the dollar's devaluation, and the experts at Advantage Gold will explain how you can convert some of your savings into precious metals that can protect and potentially grow your wealth. With currency debasement from Washington and global uncertainty on the rise, gold and silver diversification can offer you some stability. Call 800-900-8000 right now to sign up. 800-900-8000 now. Tell them Mark Levin sent you. Performance may vary. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future results. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. Let me try this. I want to congratulate the Israelis for taking out the Iranian Islamo-Nazi commanders who are involved in spreading terrorism in a regime that's building nuclear weapons to threaten the United States of America. The European Union won't do it. Countries individually, the UK, France, the United States, we won't do it. This tiny, tiny little country. It's on its shoulders. And they get no help from Biden and the boys because Biden and the boys have sided with the Islamo-Nazi regime in Tehran. They're funding them. They're arming them. They're protecting them. Well, we only have a minute left, but I wanted to reiterate. We owe a debt of gratitude, congratulations, and thanks to Benjamin Netanyahu and his government for taking out these monsters. Now, again, you're going to see more of the anti-American, anti-Semites coming out of the closet. You're going to see them effectively defending these mass murders. Again, the top dog that they got has been arming Syria and also moving weapons through Syria to Hezbollah and Hamas and others. But he is significantly responsible for part of the hundreds of thousands of Syrians who've died too, just so you know. I'll be right back. This segment of the podcast is exclusively sponsored by Pure Talk. Pure Talk offers great coverage and can save your family money on your wireless bill every single month. Go to puretalk.com to find the plan that's right for you. Thank you again for listening, and thank you so much for this sponsorship, Pure Talk.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. Hello, hello, hello. 877-381-3811. Well, I'm very happy you're here. I remember when we used to fight wars and we intended to win them. I remember when our allies used to fight wars and we used to help them win them. Now our allies are attacked. Our enemies are the most vile, subhuman monsters imaginable. They've attacked us on 9/11 on multiple other occasions. They've attacked our allies in Europe. But October 7th was different. It was one of the most horrendous attacks ever. The brutality, the sadism, and all the rest of it. And yet, for some reason, for the Democrat Party, for Biden, for our State Department and the American media, after a week of wringing their hands about terrorism, they turned on the state of Israel and the people of Israel the way they've turned on the people of America for decades now, with open borders and all the rest of it, crime. But I'm sure there's people who are listening that don't remember the good old days. Oh, yes, good old days. When if we went to war, we meant to win. The good old days were Richard Nixon, when Israel was attacked during the Yom Kippur War. He asked Kissinger, what do they need? Kissinger told him, and he said, double it. Double it. I remember when the Israelis, having been backed up in the initial parts of that war, got their step and then started to attack. And this is when, of course, they cut across the Suez Canal. They're about to surround Cairo. They destroyed the Syrian tank units. And I could go on and on and on. And Brezhnev, then the head of the Soviet Union, he calls Nixon. And he says to Nixon, we're sending in our jets, we're sending in, we're not going to allow, you know, basically, Egypt and Syria to fall, because they were their puppet states. Nixon put the country on a, I think it was a 5-level nuclear alert, the highest level. I remember the media at the time. Our B-52s, yes, there were B-52s still around. They are today. They were removing their conventional bombs, Mr. Producer, and putting nuclear bombs on them. Nixon. Kissinger. And so, the United States did contact Israel. And Israel agreed not to sack Cairo. The Israelis also surrounded the largest of the Egyptian armies, and they agreed not to obliterate it. In effect, Egypt surrendered, as did Syria and the rest. Our demographics in America have changed. You didn't hear from the river to the sea crowd because they weren't in our colleges and universities. They weren't in our media. There was no river to the sea crowd. And by that, I also mean the Marxists, you understand. The Marxists and the Islamists. That would come later. When we were attacked in World War II, I pointed this out at length on Fox. Some of the Israeli leaders picked up on it. Others have picked up on it. I won't play it for you. I could. I talked about when Berlin was surrounded. I've talked to you about how the Third Reich was annihilated, as was Japan. There were no ceasefires back then. It was live or die. And Americans didn't want a ceasefire. Americans wanted victory. We lost almost 500,000 men. We were attacked at Pearl Harbor. Israel was attacked. I want you to think about this. And so I congratulate and thank the Israelis for what they did. We took out Yamamoto. They just took out this Islamo-Nazi subhuman. And our State Department's wringing its hands. History will never forget the Biden administration. It'll never forget the American media. It'll never forget people like Schumer and Van Hollen and all the other scum. That's right, scum. May I say scum? I think I just did. But I want to remind you of the good old days from my favorite movie of all time. Go, Mr. Producer.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Men, all this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxers. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Because the very thought of losing is hateful to Americans. Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, my God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do. Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. Let the Hun do that. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose. Now, there's one thing that you men will be able to say when you get back home. And you may thank God for it. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee, and he asks you, what did you do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, well, I shoveled in Louisiana. All right, now you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. I will be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That's all.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Vin, L-E-V-I-N. Ah, yes, the good old days. You're damn right. I wonder if I'm allowed to read this piece. I wonder if I'm allowed to read it. Shh. Don't tell anybody I'm reading this. Hello. It's from Pew. P-E-W. I think that's kind of a mainstream survey and polling organization. Pew, Pew, P-E-W. But I don't see anything on cable or network TV on this. I haven't heard it anywhere. Should I discuss it, Mr. Producer? I think I will. From JNS News. Regardless of how they feel about October 7, almost half of U.S. Muslim adults, 49%, say that Hamas had valid reasons to fight Israel. 21% of that demographic said that Hamas's terror attack on October 7 was either completely acceptable, 10%, or somewhat acceptable, 11%. And I challenge Media Matters and Mediaite to link to this study. I challenge them to do it. I challenge Jake Tapper to read this. From the Pew Research Center, and Wolf Blitzer, and Andrea Mitchell, and the Scarboroughs, and somebody to read it to Sharpton. That's according to new data from the Pew Research Center, based on a survey of 12,693 American adults between the age between February 13 and February 25. Unlike most nationally representative polling in the United States since the war began, our survey includes enough Jewish and Muslim respondents to allow their views to be analyzed separately, Pew stated in its release. While more than one in five American Muslim adults said it was at least somewhat acceptable that Hamas, which the U.S. has designated a terrorist organization for 27 years, but now coddles like a baby, attacked the Jewish state on October 7th, just about 5% of U.S. adults overall thought that. 3% of U.S. Jewish adults said that Hamas attacks was acceptable. So 3%, 5% nationwide, but a significant percentage of American Muslims. Nearly 3 in 4, 73% of American adults said that the way Hamas carried out its October 7th attack was unacceptable. 66% saying Hamas's reasons were completely unacceptable. An overwhelming majority, 89% of American Jews, said Israel was justified in going to war against Hamas, compared to 18% of U.S. Muslims. 49% of Muslim Americans said Hamas has valid reasons to attack Israel. Just 16% of American Jews said that. Yeah, but they're heavily represented in the Democrat Party leadership, in the Biden administration, and in the corrupt American media. Well, over half, 62% of American Jews and 5% of Muslim Americans said Israel's war in Gaza is acceptable. 68% of American Muslims said it was unacceptable. And this is the group that Biden is desperately trying to get to vote. And I just want to say this to my liberal Jewish I won't say friends, people that I know. You'll be voting with these people when you vote for Biden. That is, people who are all for the war against Israel. I know the truth hurts. That's why nobody will say this. The facts are said to be controversial. Facts are facts. Right, Dana Bash? American adults overwhelmingly support providing humanitarian aid to Gaza, 50%, 90% oppose, while 36% favor the U.S. providing Israel with military aid, 34% do not. But Republicans and Democrats are divided greatly on the war. Ready for this? More than 52% of Democrats and independents who lean Democrats say Israel's response to October 7 is unacceptable. Which is why I say, why would a Jew vote for a Democrat candidate? I don't get it. Why would anybody, for that matter? 17% of Republicans and right-leaning independents said that. Just one quarter of Democrats, 24%, down from 35% in 2022, have favorable views of the Israeli government overall compared to 63% of Republicans. So it's quite clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the Republican Party is the party of good and the Democrat Party is the party of evil. The Republican Party is the party of America and Israel, and the Democrat Party is the party of Marxism and Islamism. That's it. That's it. That's the bottom line. No one else will say it. I say it. A majority of Democrats and Republicans do not favor a two-state solution, according to the poll. Under half, 48% of Democrats, only 33% of Republicans want an independent Palestinian state. More than a quarter, 26% of Republicans favor a single state run by Israel. Americans under the age of 30 represent the only group in which less than half, 38%, said that Israel had a valid reason to fight Hamas. And so you see the Marxist Islamist focus, the communist Chinese and Qatar focus on buying our classrooms at the college and university level has succeeded. The Islamists and Marxists who make up so much of our faculty all across our college and university platforms, they're having an impact. We're destroying ourselves from within. That wasn't so painful, was it, America? To read, it's painful to read what's in there. So tell me this. This is the Pew Research Center. Why has CNN censored this? Why has MSNBC censored this? Why have news platforms across the board censored this? Why? Because they want you to believe something else. That's why. They don't want you to believe the truth. They're not about providing facts to you. That is, but I just read you, those are facts that were done scientifically. It's not pseudo news or anything. That's real news. That we have a problem in this country. And what's the problem? The problem is we are growing young people and others through immigration and brainwashing into a hate America, hate Israel cult. Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/Levin, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N.
Mark Levin, a proud fanatic for the Constitution. Call him now at 877-381-3811.
Two of the news outlets, so-called, that the Israelis hate the most are the New York Times and CNN, among others. I'm going to read something to you so you can know why. This is CNN. Israel's military is withdrawn from Gaza's largest hospital, Al-Shifa. Now, Al-Shifa has not been a hospital for months. It has been a terrorist compound. There have been doctors there and some nurses and even some patients. And the Israelis sent in their naval special forces to get them out and were very, very successful. Hamas kills these people. And they even have video of Hamas shooting these massive rounds at the hospital because they know, or the compound, because they know what's about to take place, and they feed it to CNN and these other news outlets. Maybe to Snowden, so Joe Rogan can add his genius to what's taking place. Israel's military is withdrawn from Gaza's largest hospital after a 14-day siege that witnesses and Palestinian officials say has left buildings largely destroyed and bodies strewn across the complex. There were about 1,000 terrorists there. About 1,000 terrorists. And they killed hundreds of them, the Israelis, in 14 days of firefights. So they provide no context whatsoever. The Israeli Defense Forces, IDF, confirmed its withdrawal Monday, saying its troops had killed Hamas militants and seized weaponry and intelligence documents. The terrorist based in Shifa has been eliminated, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said, praising the IDF's determined and professional action. Medical crews are working to recover hundreds of bodies scattered across the grounds, that is, Hamas's, at Al-Shifa, with at least 300 bodies found so far. These are the terrorists, according to Gaza's civil defense. Determining the precise number of people killed is difficult, it added, because Israeli troops had buried bodies inside and around the complex and bulldozed nearby roads. Where does this come from? The Hamas terrorists. More. So these, basically, these are stenographers for Hamas. They go on. Reid Al-Dashan, director of operation at Gaza's civil defense. None of these people would even be alive if they went against Hamas. These are all Hamas operatives. They told CNN it is almost impossible for ambulances to reach the hospital due to damaged roads in the city. It hasn't been a functioning hospital for months. CNN is unable to verify the numbers of bodies inside Al-Shifa independently because of the lack of reporting access in Gaza. CNN has reached out to the IDF on these figures, but has yet to hear it back because they know you're filthy scum liars. That's why. Gaza's Ministry of Health said about 3,000 people were inside the hospital, no, about 1,000 terrorists. When the IDF began its raid on March 18, its second on the facility, nearly 6 months of war with Hamas. I already explained that. Gaza's Ministry of Health, after claiming its first, let me move on. After claiming its first operation in November had been a success, the IDF in January said it had completely dismantled Hamas's command structure in northern Gaza, only for Hamas reportedly to return to the same site months later, sparking a renewed Israeli assault. That's not really what happened. I think my guy David figured it out. They knew they would come back. They left the tunnel system largely operative, and they came back like cockroaches. They asked them to surrender. There's a whole other news account in the Jerusalem Post, just so you know. And I've posted it, if you want to read the truth. And they wouldn't surrender. So they've been fighting them for 2 weeks. And the Israelis won. Hundreds of the terrorists were killed. And you'll notice the slimeball language used by these four CNN reporters, how they move between people killed and we don't know the exact number. And yet they use the numbers that are provided by Hamas, and they don't even use the words terrorists, militants, anything like that. We've had one of the great statisticians come on this program, come on TV, and explain this whole thing, but CNN doesn't care. Kadir Al-Zanoun, a journalist from the official Palestinian news agency, Wafa, also working for CNN. Okay, why are you working for the official Palestinian news agency and CNN? Said the scene was like a horror movie. Like a horror movie. And then we get this. Palestinians began arriving at the destroyed complex to search for missing family members. Quote, we found entire families dead and their bodies are decomposed in houses around the hospital. Said who? Said the journalist from the official Palestinian news agency who's now working with CNN. This is the problem, America. The situation's very bad, said Mohammed Basil, a spokesperson for Gaza's civil defense. Hospital has been completely destroyed and burned down. There's video now online. Joe Rogan may want to check this out. There's now video online where Hamas was firing artillery at this compound, destroying it. But let us be honest with each other, just you and me. If 1,000 or so, 500, 1,000, 1,200 of these terrorists are holed up in this building that is dressed up as a hospital, but is vastly, or the vast majority of it is used as a terrorist compound, why wouldn't they blow up the hospital? Why wouldn't they? And they go on. Several decomposed and disfigured bodies partly burned beneath the rubble. What was once the structures of Gaza's largest hospital can be seen in videos. This is so sickening the way this is being written. It's so awful. And this is why people are turning on Israel, because CNN is so loathsome, so horrific. Civilian buildings like hospitals are protected under international humanitarian law, but can lose their protected status. This is way down in the article. If they are used to commit acts harmful to the enemy, Israel has for years said Hamas fighters use mosques, hospitals, and other civilian buildings to hide from Israeli attacks and launch their own. Hamas has repeatedly denied the claims. Yeah, but they've denied them, but it's been proven accurate. It's just tough to stomach this. All 2.2 million people in Gaza do not have enough food to eat, with half of the population on the brink of starvation, which we've been hearing for 3 months, and famine projected to arrive in the north anytime between mid-March and May. Well, it's already there in Haiti, and I don't see anything like this being written at CNN. So what's the problem? Egypt will not let these people out. Hamas is stealing the food and medicine that's coming in. Hamas said it will not agree to an Arab force in Gaza, which I'm glad they said that, but nonetheless, they're the ones saying no. Hamas won't release the hostages. Joe Biden gave him a reason not to release the hostages because he decoupled a demand at the UN for a ceasefire from getting the hostages out. But this is the kind of crap where the low IQ commentators like a Joe Rogan and others will love, because it builds into their already enshrined viewpoints. But he's not alone. The entire media, CNN knows what it's reporting here is Hamas propaganda. They know it. They hire an official Palestinian journalist as one of their own. New York Times does the same thing. People who defend Hamas call Netanyahu Hitler. Photographer, he's still working for the New York Times. This is what they do. And their headline, Israeli troops end Al-Shifa hospital raid, leaving behind bodies and a trail of destruction. Now, as big as this show is, it's not big enough to counter all these news platforms that all speak and talk the same way. If you read On Freedom of the Press, you know, I have a whole chapter on this. And there was a gentleman by the name of Friedman who had been part of this media at one point. And he said, most of these people do not go to these sites that they report on. They take the information that is provided them. He said this before, October, well before. They take the information that is provided them by the Palestinian terrorists and they regurgitate it. That you have a whole social group of reporters that all agree on the same so-called facts and the same so-called positioning of the parties. And so he quit. He said he wanted nothing to do with it anymore. You can't really be an independent journalist and print the truth. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries and maybe a quarter tank of gasoline. You know what it will get you, though? For just $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk. You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can trade your phone or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares our values, that supports our military and veterans, that creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks. Instead, they're right here with us. Just go to puretalk.com/Levin, puretalk.com/LEVIN, and make the switch right now so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/Levin. Levin, L-E-V-I-N. So not a single one of those reporters at CNN was there during the fighting. And so they have to keep quoting Hamas operatives. And that's what the article is. It's basically a transcript of what they're being told. And as I said, this former reporter, his last name's Friedman, and I wrote about it on Freedom of the Press, said this happens every time Israel's attacked. Not one of those reporters has any first-hand knowledge of anything that took place at CNN. Four writers, not one of them had any first-hand knowledge. None of them. And there's a whole story about what the Israelis did. Spoon-fed to them by the Gaza Civil Defense Forces. It's sickening. I shall return. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in America with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, much, much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. My wife Julie and I decided it was time to add more flowering trees to our landscape, and Fast Growing Tree was a great resource for us. A large selection and no hassle ordering or shipping. This spring they have the best deals online, up to half off on selected plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code Levin at checkout. L-E-V-I-N. Now that's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code Levin. Levin at checkout. FastGrowingTrees.com, code L-E-V-I-N. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Please visit FastGrowingTrees.com for details.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here. That's correct. 888-381-3811. 888-381-3811. I don't know. I'm getting into kind of the Joe Biden gibberish mode. Now, this is very serious. These gag orders being issued by these judges, as discussed last week, against Donald Trump, are outrageously unconstitutional. They just want to shut him down. He's in the middle of a presidential campaign. I talked about this so-called judge, Reggie Walton, and I believe that ethics complaints should be filed against him. What he did was grotesque on CNN. CNN is really a beehive of poison, cancer, and other forms of reprobates. But I want to read this to you. This is the judge's daughter who's handling this Manhattan case involving this guy Bragg. His name is Judge Merchan. The daughter of the judge, writes Red State, Brittany Sheehan, presiding over Donald Trump's New York hush money trial, it's a non-disclosure agreement trial, has two significant Democratic clients who have raised over $93 million in campaign donations by fundraising off the criminal case. You aware of this, folks? These clients, Representative Adam Schiff and the Senate Majority PAC, I believe that's Schumer's, are clients of Authentic Campaigns, a Chicago-based progressive political consulting firm with Lauren Merchan, the daughter of Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan, is president. Okay, you got that? So the judge's daughter is a massive Democrat political left-wing operative. Her group has raised over $93 million in campaign donations, fundraising off the case that her father is in charge of. In August, Judge Merchan rejected Trump's first recusal motion, but Trump spokesman Steve Chung says the evidence of bias is even clearer now, telling the New York Post Authentic Campaigns and thus the judge's daughter is actively making money from this sham attack against President Trump, rendering Judge Merchan conflicted out. 100%. 100%. Adam Schiff's Senate campaign has garnered a staggering $20 million in donations since it started seeking contributions based on Trump's 34-count indictment last April in the case that the daughter's father is the judge in. Now, Schiff's fundraising email reads as follows. And, of course, this daughter is involved in all this. It is a sober moment and unprecedented for a former president to be indicted, but his alleged offenses are also unprecedented. Trump will respond as he always does, playing the victim and blaming others for having the temerity to investigate him in the first place. Schiff is worse than what you find on the bottom of your shoe if you happen to step in the wrong place. The Senate Majority PAC, a super PAC linked to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, it's his PAC, has received, ready, $73.6 million in donations since it began sending out fundraising emails following Trump's indictment. So the judge's daughter is raising millions off of this. The PAC sent an email that said, breaking news, Donald Trump indicted by Manhattan grand jury. This is an important moment for our democracy. But our work isn't over. We must continue protecting our Senate majority from GOP extremists. Please rush $10, become $60 to help defend the Senate. The super PAC is engaged in transactions exceeding $15 million with Authentic since 2019. The super PAC being Schumer's PAC, which includes, you see how it works here? You have a Democrat elected judge. His daughter is a massive Democrat left wing radical fundraiser, raising funds off the trial that the father is overseeing for Schumer's PAC and Adam Schiff's campaign. And Trump has been attacking the father and the daughter over this, and so he issues a gag order. And you have a federal judge in Washington, D.C., Reggie Walton, who goes on CNN and whines and complains and attacks Trump. All, of course, giving a pass to Schumer and all the other clowns. Lauren Marchand, who previously worked as the director of digital persuasion for Vice President Kamala Harris's 2020 presidential campaign, has expressed her father's disapproval of politicians using Twitter, citing Trump as an example. The judge's daughter, in a 2019 podcast appearance, said the following. I've actually had a couple conversations with my dad, the judge, recently, where he's kind of like, I hate that politicians use Twitter and like it's so unprofessional. And, you know, that's not how a politician should behave themselves. She can't speak English either. And I explained that, like, yeah, I think there are a lot of instances where it is not used in, like, when our president, meaning Trump, tweets anything that he thinks, like, that's not what he should be using it for. So Trump took aim at Marchand and his conflicts of interest in several social media posts made this week. Now, if we had a real media, they'd be demanding this guy's recusal. This is a contemptible outrage, just like the judge, so-called Judge Walton, the other day. And then if you're a judge that actually shoots straight, plays by the book, you come under vicious attack at CNN, MSNBC, and the other left-wing media outlets. And so this was what we have now from Reuters. Reuters is one of the worst. Federal judge overseeing the criminal case that accuses Donald Trump of mishandling classified documents has signaled an openness to the former president's defense claims in a sign that prosecutors might face a difficult road. U.S. District Court Judge Eileen Cannon, who was nominated to the bench by Trump. Okay. Nominated to the bench by Trump. So when we get to these Supreme Court decisions, are they going to keep mentioning the Democrats were nominated by Biden and Clinton and Obama? No. But that must be her middle name. Judge Eileen, nominated by Trump, Cannon, has asked Trump and prosecutors to propose jury instructions based on two legal scenarios that favor a claim from Trump. Let's see here. A claim from Trump, Dan Printer. Anyway, here's where it is. The dispute in another. Trump and special counsel Jack Smith, who brought the case, face a Tuesday deadline to respond. She has asked Trump and prosecutors to propose jury instructions based on two legal scenarios that favor a claim from Trump that national security lawyers say have little relevance to the charges. Again, you notice how this is written? So what they're going to do in the body of this, they're going to bring in national security so-called experts who agree that the judge is wrong. Now, understand a few things. This is another case of first impression. No former president has ever been charged with violations of the Espionage Act. No former vice president has. No former secretary of state has. No former senator has. You have a court who is more favorable to the views of one party versus the other, and you're seeing orders and decisions that are reflective of that, said Brandon Vat Grack, a former Justice Department national security official. Why did they pick him? I worked at the Department of Justice. There's many national security officials we had there. They picked him because they knew his answer, because he's an a-hole. Trump has pleaded not guilty to charges accusing him of knowingly retaining blah, blah, blah. At issue is Cannon's recent order and Trump's claim that he treated the documents as personal under a 1978 law. That's the Presidential Records Act. Now, nowhere in this article is the ruling by an Obama judge in Washington, D.C., in the Clinton case against Judicial Watch, in which they were raising issues about that classified stuff that was in Bill Clinton's sock drawer. By the way, Mr., do you have a hold drawer committed to socks? It's a hell of a lot of socks, isn't it? I mean, you got socks, right? You got t-shirts in there. You may have your underwear. A sock drawer, a whole drawer filled with socks? I'm just wondering. It's a whole other story. I'm not going to get into that. Mark Zaid, a defense lawyer who's worked on cases involving classified information. Yeah, I've had, you know, we've crossed swords. Said he's unaware of an instance when a document produced by a federal agency was declared a personal record by a president. And tell me, Mark, being a defense lawyer and all that, are you aware of any case where a former president was a defendant? You'd say, I'm not aware of any case where a president has declared a classified document or a federal agency has declared personal record by a president. There'd be no circumstances other than this one, you moron. Allowing a jury to consider these claims would give Trump a fighting chance in a jury trial that would never likely exist in another case. This is a one-off case. This is the only case of its kind in American history. It's a one-off case. That's why you've never heard of it, you schmuck. That's why. Could you imagine if I had a full-time podcast, Mr. Producer? My hands wouldn't be tied. And then they go on. Canada has escaped the ire of Trump. And, you know, then they get in their innuendos and so forth. So the media are all in for the prosecution. Now, if we're talking about a mass murder, illegal alien, and you want the book thrown at him, you'd be called all kinds of names. Oh, obviously you're racist. What's wrong with you? But here in the case where the judge is actually taking these issues seriously, there's motions being filed, she's not predetermining anything. This is a case of first impression, as we lawyers call it. You've got serious constitutional issues, including a filing by Landmark Legal Foundation that this prosecutor has been unconstitutionally appointed. The judge is going to have to struggle with that, too, because he has been. We have an appointments clause. We also understand delegation. But you can't delegate prosecutorial authority to an individual who's not part of the federal bureaucracy, that is, the federal government, without going through the appointments clause. You can delegate it to, say, a U.S. attorney because they already went through the confirmation process. But you can't delegate it to somebody who's never gone through the confirmation process and has never been, and at the time of the appointment is not part of the federal government. Otherwise, what's the point of the appointments clause? And it's right there. It's called the appointments clause of the Constitution. I wonder what Mark Zaid thinks about that one. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Good to have our buddy Ben Shapiro. It's been a long time, Ben. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing well, Mark. How are you?
Let me look. I am great. Thank you. All right. You got a very important and really intriguing new docuseries, The Divided States of Biden, that you can watch at thedailywire.com. Tell us about this.
So we decided that we were going to take a deeper look into some of the biggest issues that the Biden administration has plagued America with. The first two episodes are respectively the border. So we went down to the Arizona-Mexico border and took a look at Joe Biden's border policy and what that actually looks like in person. And then our second episode, which just came out, is on the fentanyl crisis, which is very much connected to the border crisis. Over 100,000 Americans dying every single year now from fentanyl overdose. It's the largest drug epidemic in American history in terms of death. It is destroying entire generations of young people, the number one cause of death for Americans between 18 and 45. And that is being facilitated by Joe Biden's policy with regard to the southern border, which is wide open, soft on crime, soft on China. And it's pretty obvious how to shut this down. Joe Biden just isn't doing it.
And why do you think he isn't doing it? I mean, I have given my opinion. Why do you think?
I think that when it comes to the border, there are a few reasons. Number one is that Joe Biden is captured by his far left. His far left legitimately believes that the United States is a bad country and that we owe it to the rest of the world to let everybody cross that border willy-nilly. And if that means that a bunch of drugs also come across that border, okay, then that's the way things are going to go. As far as why he doesn't crack down on China, there's some pretty significant allegations made by Peter Schweizer in this episode of the series about the connections between the Biden family and the Chinese government. Effectively, the Biden family is about one degree removed from actual drug facilitating people in China who are actively coordinating to set up the Mexican drug cartels in the fentanyl business. So it really is corruption. It is a possible rationale as well. And then on the other end, just this soft on crime perspective with regard to drug dealers overall, that's been a hallmark of the Biden administration. They are very, very soft on drug dealers, despite the fact that when it comes to fentanyl, very often what you're talking about is not fentanyl overdose. When we tend to think of drug overdose, we think of somebody taking heroin and taking too much and dying. When it comes to fentanyl, a huge number of people who are dying of fentanyl overdose never know they're taking fentanyl. They think they're taking a Xanax or an Adderall, and it's been laced with fentanyl, and people are dying because of that, which means these drug dealers are not just drug dealers, they're actual murderers.
And yet Biden knows that. Is he that? He's cold-blooded, isn't he, pretty much?
Now, this is a dirty secret about Joe Biden as a human being. He's slid on this whole empathetic elderly uncle routine for quite a while in American politics. And when it comes down to it, Joe Biden cares about himself. He cares about his immediate family in terms of how much money they can rack in. But I think that the American people have seen, really, since the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, that this guy does not care about them. And last week was, again, great evidence of that. While he was with the glitterati over in New York, President Trump heading on over to the funeral of a slain police officer, Joe Biden could have gone to that. He decided he didn't want to, because that is who Joe Biden is. Joe Biden is about Joe Biden.
And Ben Shapiro, here's the thing. It's very strange, and yet people have written about this who've lived through various totalitarian and genocidal regimes. He still may get half the country to vote for him, despite the fact that he's destroying the country and people's livelihoods. Isn't that weird?
I mean, it would be weird if we weren't at the sort of end of something. And what we are, I think, in the United States is we're at the end of a trend that started really in the Obama era. Of separating Americans by race, separating Americans by creed and color, and then attempting to cobble together this sort of coalition of the oppressed. And everything that the Biden administration is, this coalition of the oppressed, plus some upper-class white ladies who went to Wellesley. And that basically is the Biden electoral coalition. And that coalition, this is what unites all of the policies. It's also what unites all of the people. This is why you see obvious idiocies in the Biden coalition, like Queers for Palestine. You think about that on any sort of raw level, and you say that makes no sense at all. I mean, these are people who would immediately be murdered in Palestine if Palestine existed. And but it makes perfect sense if you realize that this is a group of radical people who really hate American principles. And then there are a bunch of people who are just suckered by the media into believing that Donald Trump is the worst thing to ever happen to the country, and Joe Biden's going to save democracy. The media, I think we prematurely have declared them dead about a dozen times on the right, but the media are still a force to be reckoned with, particularly with regards to people who are in the middle or don't really watch politics all that often. They're still tuning in. They're still paying attention to lies the media are telling, unfortunately.
If people want to watch, and many of them do, your new docuseries, where do they go exactly?
They should head on over to dailywire.com and get a subscription. You can watch it over there. We should have a third episode coming out soon. We go on the ground to Kensington, an area of Philadelphia, see what the drug problem looks like over there. Really is devastating stuff.
Oh, my God, like Kensington. All right, I'd love to hold you one more segment. Our buddy Ben Shapiro, his new docuseries, The Divided States of America. You can watch it at dailywire.com. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Mark Levin, the funder on the right. Call in now, 877-381-3811.
We're here with Ben Shapiro. Really one of the best of the conservatives, as far as I'm concerned. Used to come on this show. Hold on one second. Excuse me, I have cholera. Anyway, Ben is with us now. Ben, while I have you, did you ever think the Biden administration would be so guttural, out of the closet, day after day, hour after hour, trashing the state of Israel, the prime minister of Israel, funding Iran, arming their surrogates? Did you ever think this day would come like this?
I mean, the only reason I thought that was a possibility is because Barack Obama really was pretty much the same, particularly in the last part of his administration. But the Biden administration's overt attempts to now undermine the government of Israel by lying about the state of Israel and what's happening on the ground in Israel, by lying about the government itself, I mean, it really is just a pack of lies that are told to a bunch of idiots in the media who don't know anything. So when you hear Karine Jean-Pierre or Joe Biden or Chuck Schumer out there ripping on Netanyahu as though Prime Minister Netanyahu is the sole leader of the Israeli government and every decision is being made by him, that's not even true. There's a war cabinet in Israel that includes Benjamin Netanyahu. It includes his chief political rival, Benny Gantz, who, if an election were held today, would be prime minister. It includes Gadi Eisenkot, who's a member of Benny Gantz's cabinet and a member of his party. I mean, there is 75-80% approval inside Israel for what Israel is doing in Gaza right now. If Netanyahu did not go into Rafah or Rafia, as it is in Hebrew, if they didn't actually go into that area, they would be thrown out. The government would be summarily dismantled immediately. So, you know, all of this is, I think, an attempt by the Biden administration to buy off voters in Dearborn, Michigan, especially, and to placate the radical left base. And the thing about this is that not only is it immoral, it's also political malpractice. The reason that Joe Biden is losing this election is not because of ticked off progressives. The reason he's losing this election is because of ticked off moderates. It's because Joe Biden decided that he was going to run as a moderate and then govern as Bernie Sanders. And so the he's never going to be able to please folks in Dearborn, Michigan by saying mean words about Netanyahu while continuing to fund both sides in the Iran-Israel war, which is really what you're watching right now. Everything that's happening right now, Hamas is a secondary player. Iran is funding Hezbollah in Israel's north. Iran is funding the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which is in the Judea and Samaria West Bank region of Israel. They're funding Hamas, obviously, in Israel's south, in the Gaza Strip. They're funding the Houthis in Yemen, who are also firing ordnance at Israel. They're funding Iranian proxy groups in Syria, Lebanon, in Iraq. I mean, what we're watching right now is Iran has basically activated every tentacle of its terror octopus against Israel, and Joe Biden is now funding both sides. Literally, he's funding both sides. He's signing, he's allowing checks to flow in the tens of billions of dollars to the Iranian government in the middle of this war, and at the same exact time, he's attempting to at least let enough military aid pass into Israel so that Israel isn't completely cut off, because he understands on a practical level that if that were to happen, that would be horrible for American foreign policy. So, again, like everything else that Biden does, it's just a complete muddle and it's a complete mess. And a mess is the worst thing that you can do in this particular area of the world where strength is the only coin of the realm.
Now, I'm not asking this to be provocative. I discuss this all the time on this program, but I'm interested if you have a take on it. You have people like Dana Bash, Jake Tapper, Thomas Friedman in the media, who are some of the worst propagandists for Hamas and the left against the state of Israel. They're all at least ethnic Jews. I don't know that they actually are faithful Jews, that is, going to synagogue other than on the high holidays. There's a pretty, not perfect, but pretty solid split, isn't there, in that respect in the Jewish community. And they're constantly attacking the quote-unquote religious zealots in the cabinet. I mean, most of them are just Orthodox Jews. You see that too, right? You live it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's clearly a massive divide in the ethnic Jewish community between people who actually care about the state of Israel, people who tend to keep Sabbath, for example, people who tend to keep kosher, and people who are old-line sort of reform conservative Jews, and then sort of younger Jews who really have no affiliation and younger ethnic Jews who really are not Jewish in any way, the best sort of comp would be lapsed Catholics or non-practicing Protestants who are born into a Protestant family and then just never go to church ever. That's what most Jews are. By the stats, Jews are the least religious, quote-unquote religious group in the United States. And so it shouldn't be a shock that a lot of those non-religious Jews are effectively left-wing secularists. And so, you know, looking to them for guidance, nothing annoys me more than someone who doesn't practice any form of Judaism in reality, pulling out the as a Jew card to then rip on the state of Israel or when it performs self-defense. That really is quite gross. Like,
that's Bernie Sanders.
That's Bernie Sanders up and down. Bernie Sanders is, I've said this before and gotten flack for it, but it's reality. Bernie Sanders is Jewish as a ham sandwich. But Bernie Sanders has no credibility whatsoever in declaring that his ethnic Jewishness is an excuse for him hobnobbing with the worst anti-Semites on the left.
Yeah, it's pretty, and people need to understand, like, that Schumer speech. You know, you have these Marxist Islamists in the Democrat Party who now take cover from Schumer's speech, like this guy Bowman the other day, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jamal Bowman, a moron who can't tell the difference between a fire alarm and a door opener, apparently. Jamal Bowman was out there suggesting that Netanyahu is the real obstacle to peace. Meanwhile, he's actively in a war with Hamas, which literally has been continuing to fire rockets even now into Israel. Hamas just turned down a ceasefire proposal from Israel in which Hamas would receive back 800 murderous terrorists, people with actual terror sentences for murder, in exchange for women and the elderly, largely. And that was turned down by Hamas. And to Jamal Bowman, it's the Israelis, it's Netanyahu in particular, who is the problem. The reality is that Biden, all the rest of the left, they know this isn't Netanyahu. This is just anti-Israel. And this is why this whole ceasefire lie that's been promoted by the left has nothing to do with wanting peace or wanting a ceasefire. It is simply pro-Hamas propaganda. Because in the end, again, every single government of Israel that would be elected in this moment, and I think for the foreseeable future, is going to want to pursue its own self-defense, because how could you not, after 1,200 of your citizens are murdered and another 250 are taken hostages? There are hostages sitting in Gazan tunnels under the auspices of Hamas literally right now. And I understand that the entire media have moved on from that. They don't care about that at all. But it is truly amazing to me that at the same exact time that Hamas is literally holding Israeli hostages, including five Americans, by the way, American Israelis, that at that exact same time, the Biden administration is saying, how can we give these people a state? Really, they need a state. I mean, is there any administration that has ever been remotely as weak on terror as the Biden administration has been?
Has there ever been a Secretary of State who's been as bad as Antony Blinken, certainly in modern times?
I mean, we have seen Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. That's a hard list. I mean,
yeah, he still outperforms them, as far as I'm concerned.
He's done a terrible job, obviously. Listen, when President Trump left office, the world was not on fire. Now the world's on fire pretty much everywhere. And it's my out-of-the-box call for the next few months is that if it really appears that Joe Biden is in serious trouble electorally by June, July, I would not be surprised to see China try some sort of blockade of Taiwan, figuring they better get going while the getting is good before Trump takes office.
Mm-hmm. And Trump, you're supporting him and either did or are doing a fundraiser, correct?
Oh, yeah. No, I gave him money. I mean, I co-hosted a fundraiser for him down here in Florida, got the chance to meet with him a little bit, which is always a fun experience. You know him, obviously. And he is definitely a character. It's a binary race. The race is between Donald Trump. I know what he will be like as president because I liked a lot of what he did as president. And I know what Joe Biden will be like as president because he's currently the president. So there are no mysteries in this race. I know the media are trying to create this sort of mysterious disaster that will occur on the other side of a Trump election. But here's the thing. We already know what Trump's presidency looks like. And at least for the first 3 years, it looked great. And then everybody got hit by COVID and the George Floyd riots. So 2020 was a bleep show, obviously. But the first 3 years of the Trump administration were as good as any administration in my lifetime, and mostly better.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the docuseries, folks, is Divided States of Biden. You go to thedailywire.com. I want to encourage you to check it out. They've built a fantastic platform, you and Jeremy, over there. And I want to wish you continued good luck, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. So the docuseries is The Divided States of Biden. You can watch it at thedailywire.com. Now, episode one is the invasion of the southern border. Episode two is fentanyl, America's silent epidemic. And they actually went to the border. They did their investigation. They've done their analysis. They're doing the reporting. This is what makes, you know, The Daily Wire, The Blaze, all these groups different than CNN and the others. CNN is being handed press reports, data information from Hamas, and they do a long, entire story on it with photos and everything else about how the Israelis are blowing up the hospital. There are hundreds of dead bodies everywhere, the bulldozing bodies all over the place. And so then losers like Joe Rogan pick up on that. They're just not intelligent enough. They're smart about what they know, and they're not smart enough to know what they don't know. And they regurgitate it. And he's not the only one. I mean, it's the whole media. The whole media are doing this, with a few exceptions. That's the problem. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You're not going to believe this. This Judge Mershon, this Democrat, and his daughter, who's president of this massive fundraising left-wing Democrat organization that's funding Adam Schiff to the tune of $20 million, and Chuck Schumer's Political Action Committee. This judge, Julie Kelly, hat tip, just issued a ban on Donald Trump talking about his daughter. Now, folks, you need to understand something under the Constitution. When your very freedom is on the line, you're allowed to talk. You're allowed to criticize the judge. You're allowed to criticize the justice system. You're allowed to criticize witnesses. You're allowed to do these things. The test is whether you are trying to promote violence, intimidation, physical acts against any of them. All he's done is expose them. He's not done any of those other things. So judges can't just go around issuing orders. You're not allowed to talk about me. You're not allowed to talk about my daughter. You're not allowed to. Of course, he's running for president of the United States. Everybody else is talking about it. Everybody else is talking about him. I can talk about anything I want. He's the one in the dock, illegitimately, with a phony case, with a fraudulent judicial system in New York, a bunch of Democrat hacks. And so he can't talk about his daughter, can't talk about any witnesses, can't talk about the judge, can't talk. I've never seen anything like this any more than this Judge Walton in Washington, D.C. shows up on CNN and starts spouting his big mouth off. For the first time, you know, it's only Trump, not Schumer, not the people threatening Supreme Court justices. No. Judge Walton was driven by him. You know, his moral soul to get out there and really let Trump have it. The hell is this? The judiciary's dead. I'll announce it right now. The judiciary's dead. The media are dead. The judiciary's dead. Tyranny is here. The question is how aggressive it's going to get. That's the truth. That's a fact. Judge Mershon tweets, our friend Julie Kelly met her on a plane about a month ago. Very, very lovely lady. Desperate to conceal his daughter's lucrative business with Democrats, including Adam Schiff, and I would argue, and state, and Schumer's PAC, now expands his gag order to ban President Trump from making any public statements about his daughter. That's why he should recuse himself. Right there. There's the evidence. She's raising money off the case her daddy is overseeing, and he issues a gag order on Trump and says, you're not to talk about it. Have you ever seen anything like this, Mr. Producer? It is nuts. And the media will be out there, good for him, and if he violates it, send Trump to prison. You hear these sick bastards? Town Hall, Leah Barkoukas. Trucking industry blasts the Biden administration's new rule for heavy-duty vehicles. You know what it's going to cost? $1 trillion, and that's on the low side. $1 trillion. It applies to more than 100 types of heavy-duty vehicles, including buses, freight trucks, that's you 18-wheelers, garbage trucks, commercial vans. They are destroying our industries, destroying jobs, just destroying. These are ideologues. That's all they are. Ideologues who are using the power that they have in the bureaucracy. They don't represent us. They don't have any statutory authority. They're using the power in the bureaucracy at the direction of Joe Biden. They are destroying one industry after another. For the life of me, I don't understand how any of the trade unions' bosses, even they, should say, we endorse Trump. We're not going to deal with this. Trump loves the country. He loves American business. He loves American jobs. He loves American labor. We've seen it. We know it. He has said it for decades. Joe Biden is stabbing everybody in the back, except his new friends, the Islamists. Folks, you better pay attention to this. This is crazy ass. I mean, this is beyond belief. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our trucker brothers and sisters. Look what they're doing to you. Freedom fighters all over the world in Ukraine and our brothers and sisters in Israel and you, the American citizen. We shall overcome. And I'll see you tomorrow. God bless.